or in Genesis chapter 23, the gift beyond the grave. Now, the main lesson we're going to carry with us through this message is this: the faith we place in God today will impact future generations. Truth that we see from the life of Sarah and Abraham and many others in the faith. How about you? Do you have that person in your life that walked that life of faith that's still speaking to you from the grave? Hope you do. And if you don't, maybe today you will. Okay? So, the faith we place in God today will impact future generations. Right now matters. Right now matters. Long before the decisive moment that Billy Graham came to be the evangelist that we know, he was a young boy, and at age 16, he placed his faith in Jesus Christ, partly because of the devotion he saw of his parents to the Lord Jesus Christ. They both had come to faith while growing up in their own families, nurturing as children. And after their marriage, Billy's parents continued that legacy of lovingly nurturing their children, including praying and reading the scriptures together and attending church faithfully with the whole family. The solid foundation that Graham's parents laid for Billy was part of the soil that God used to bring him to faith and eventually to his calling as a world-renowned evangelist. Graham's parents had a legacy of faith that laid the foundation for Billy and also subsequently laid the foundation for Billy's family as well. Their Christian faith, their Christian witness, Billy Graham's parents, is still speaking beyond the grave. What a gift. What a gift that is. Like Graham's parents, we should live today so that we can leave a legacy of faith for the next generation that reaches far beyond the grave. Right now matters. Do you know why? Because it will impact the future. How well or how poorly we live a life of faith in God right now, in our lifetime, in the days that God gives us, can have tremendously good effect on future generations of believers. There is a gift that we can give to our spiritual descendants that goes far beyond the grave. Do you want to leave a gift to the Christians that come after you? Well, it starts right now. Live by faith today and every day, trusting in the promises of God. And that is the gift that will go far beyond the grave that every single one of us in here can leave to our spiritual descendants. Today, we're going to look at the gift that goes far beyond the grave that Sarah left for her future generations. They, both Sarah and Abraham, had built a legacy of faith over their lifetime, and we're going to talk about their lifetime together in just a moment, just a few details. As they believed God would fulfill his promises of land and family. Now, if you recall, God made those promises initially before they left the land of the Chaldeans, the Ur of the Chaldeans, all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. Now we've come a number of years later here, and we're at the death of Sarah, a lady who left a legacy of faith. Well, we're going to learn three lessons from chapter 23 of Genesis. The first lesson is this. Point number one is this. We can live a life of faith in the midst of the unfulfilled promises of God. Look at verses 1 through 2 with me real quick. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to realize that every day counts. That there's not a time out in life where how we live doesn't affect the legacy we leave when we're lying in the grave. So, Father, I think this is a relevant word for all of us today. So, Father, speak loudly, I pray. Use me just as your voice, as your mouthpiece, nothing more. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste of the treasure of your word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. If we could interview Sarah, here's a question I think that I would like to ask her. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Did you know the New Testament holds Sarah as a model of a godly wife? Did you know that? This is what the Bible says in the New Testament about Sarah. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Was it worth it to Sarah to submit to Abraham and obey him all those long years, wandering in the land of Canaan as aliens and foreigners? For the large part of her life, she was a wanderer in a foreign land, following her husband. Was it worth it? Many times she must have felt as though God was absent, maybe far off. Don't we all feel that way occasionally? Where are you at, Lord? What are you doing? I know of late I've asked the Lord myself in the humblest way that I can, Lord, what are you doing? But I do trust him because I know that he knows a lot more than I do. And even if he never chose to reveal, probably like Abraham and Sarah, reveal to them the details, just the big points, right? Just the details that probably couldn't understand them anyway. I just wonder, did she ever ask the Lord, Lord, what are you doing? You got me in the middle of no man's land, following a man that, well, Father, let's just say he's not perfect. What are you doing? Was it worth it? After 127 years, you know, I want to live long, but I don't want to live that long. I'm looking forward to that place in heaven, right? After 127 years, Sarah died in the land of Hebron, in the very heart of the promised land, without receiving the promised land. All the long years of her life, she and Abraham journeyed on their pilgrimage by faith in God, waiting for God to fulfill the promises of land and family. They lived lives of faith in the midst of the unfulfilled promises of God. Now, we all can know from the study of their lives, they weren't perfect. None of us can live a perfect life, but was it worth it? Sometimes they exhibited solid faith, didn't they? Sometimes they did. Sometimes they just exhibited sick faith. Can you raise your hand if you've been there, right? She saw his highs, she saw his lows, she saw his strengths, she witnessed his weaknesses. It's estimated that they were married well over 100 years. That's a long time. Honey, I'm not saying anything. That's not long for me to be married to you, baby. I would be married to you longer than that. That's a good catch, wasn't it? They had traveled for 62 years following the promises of God. Now, let me say that again. They had traveled 62 years. In a pagan land amongst pagan people living in tents without a home of their own. They were some kind of missionaries, weren't they? 62 years, married over 100 years, following the promises of God on their journey of faith. This is what struck me. Not once did they doubt God and turn around and in 62 years. Not once. How many of us would have hung it up year 10. Would it have taken that long, right? Maybe year 3. No land, no babies here, Lord. I'm going home. I'm giving up. Not then. In the midst of the unfulfilled promises of God, they still trudged on. They were troopers, not perfect by any means, but they never turned back and went home. What a legacy to leave for baby laughter, Isaac. It's thought that Isaac would have been 37 when his mother died. And remember the promise of family, right? Finally, in their old age, they had one son named Laughter, and she dies, and he is what? Not married and no grandbabies. She's living in the midst and dying in the midst of the unfulfilled promises of God by faith, trusting that he will fulfill those promises. Honestly, I think we can say with confidence that she was a woman of faith, living her life right there in the midst of the unfulfilled promises of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 says this, "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him, the Lord, him faithful who had promised." Was it worth it? In the second part of verse 2, we read about the weeping of Abraham, the weeping Abraham. The Bible says, "And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her." Even after all of those years of marriage, living together, being together, probably arguing with one another more than once, wondering what God is doing in their lives, will he ever fulfill his promises? Even after all, and probably because of their long life together as husband and wife, Abraham still felt the bitter pain of separation from his beloved. By faith, he and Sarah lived in a foreign land as aliens and strangers, looking forward to that city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. By faith. She lived a life of faith in God, even in the midst of the unfulfilled promises, even in the midst of the disappointments and the heartaches, she still trusted in the unfailing word of God. This was her gift, not only to Isaac, but to Abraham. This was her gift that went far beyond the grave. That is the gift that we are unpacking today, some 5,000 years later. We're unraveling the gift of Sarah that she left, this woman of faith, left for us today. That we should walk in the same path, that we should trust in the unfulfilled promises of God, just as she did, by faith in him. This is her gift to all of us today, the world over, Christians the world over. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 says, "And all these, Sarah, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised." She died in faith, not having received these promises. She desired a better country, a heavenly one, the Bible tells us. And because of that, God isn't ashamed. Listen, God is not ashamed to be called her God. She was passing on a legacy of true faith to Isaac and to all of her spiritual descendants that would number far greater than the sand upon the seashore, greater than the stars in heaven. She's passing on this legacy of faith. And what a legacy it is. What a gift that she gave that is still being given well beyond the grave. Was it worth it, church family? Inevitably, undoubtedly, yes it was. Yes it was. Is it worth it for you? Yes it is. In the original television series Superman, I know one of my favorite superheroes, probably my most favorite superhero, confidently, maybe you've seen him, confidently postured himself with his legs spread and his fists on his hips as the bad guy pointed his gun at Superman and unloaded all the bullets, and he just stood there and the bullets bounced off of him. Do you remember that? You remember that scene? Do you remember what happened next after the bad guy ran out of bullets? He threw the gun at him. What did Superman do? He ducked. He would stand there, take all the bullets, and then he would throw the gun at him, and he ducked. Is that not comical? Faster than a speeding locomotive, able to bound over high buildings, X-ray vision, could blow you down with his breath. Even if it wasn't bad breath, he could blow you down. And he ducked when the guy threw the gun. Now listen to me. I'm going to try to make a spiritual application out of that. Even though Sarah dies before the promises of God are fulfilled, Sarah never ducked. She lived all of her long life as a foreigner and a stranger in a foreign land, never turning back to go home, not even if she doubted at times. Pain and anguish, loneliness. She faithfully obeyed her husband and followed him, even in the midst of his kerfunkles, if you will. She still followed him. And she has left a legacy that well impacts generations far beyond the grave that she could probably ever know. How could she do that? Because she understood those words that I said at the very beginning of this message: right now matters. Why? Because how we live today will impact the future, not just your future, but the future of all those who look up to you for a Christian witness. And what they need to find is not a perfect Christian, but a faithful Christian. They need to find a Christian who will carry on looking for the fulfillment of God's promises, even though they may never see them in their lifetime. Can we be those kind of Christians? We need to be. We need to be. Point number two. So, we can live a life of faith in the midst of the unfulfilled promises of God, just like Sarah. Point number two is this: seeing far beyond the present helps us live by faith in God today. Let me say that again. Look here. Seeing far beyond the present helps us live by faith in God today. Now, we're going to look, these verses are verses 3 through 16, but what I want to do this morning, instead of reading every verse, I want to point your attention to verses 3 and 4, and then we're going to jump down to verse 16. Okay, so this is what verses 3 and 4 say. And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and a foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Verse 16. Now listen to verse 16. Abraham listened to Ephron. That's the person he bought the cave of Machpelah in the field from. Okay, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites. So, verses 3 and 4, when Abraham says, give me land, he's not meaning give me land for free. He's meaning give me land for whatever you value it at. And it was 400 shekels. Now, let me just say, that was a lot of money. Okay? That was a lot of money. So, here we see that Abraham weighed out the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites. Now, it's important that there are witnesses here. There's witnesses to look at, to see the transaction, okay? That the transaction is sealed by the witnesses that see it, okay? 400 shekels of silver according to the weights current among the merchants. So, after Sarah's death, Abraham would live, we think, at least for another 38 years. And the question for us today that we need to ponder is this: how would he live his life now that Sarah was gone? Would he fall apart? Or would his faith falter? Or would he live by faith, as his wife did, in the midst of the unfulfilled promises of God? And I'm glad to say that he would live by faith in God, trusting in the unfulfilled promises. You see, Sarah's death would force Abraham to continue to live by faith in God. And that's what we see in this transaction for a tomb. Abraham looked far beyond the present difficult circumstances of Sarah's death at the future fulfillment of God's promises. He didn't let his current circumstances dictate to him how he would live. It moved him to continuing to live by faith, looking to the future fulfillment of God's promises. Listen, he said this in verse 4, "I am a sojourner and a foreigner among you." Now, this is what theologians call language that describes a person of faith that looks to the future hope of a heavenly home. Now, let me just say this, church family, and you probably already know this, but it is good to be reminded of things. We learned that Wednesday night, didn't we, church family? It's good to be reminded of things. And let me remind you of this. You are a sojourner and a foreigner in the midst of a pagan land. This world is not our home. Hallelujah. And so what we have to do as sojourners and foreigners on a journey of faith to home is sometimes we have to look far beyond the current circumstances to the future promises of God that home is where we'll end up, so that we can live by faith today. All right? I'm not telling you to be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. But we need to be heavenly minded so that we are earthly good. Some of us treat this place as though this is the last place we'll ever be. Now, I'm willing to leave my 10 chickens any day God wants me to. For you guys who are visiting, I just now got into chickening kind of thing, so I try to bring that into the if there's such thing as chickening. This place is not our home. And although God gives us things that makes us comfortable here, those things shouldn't make us so comfortable that we forget that we're just traveling through. We're just traveling through. That's all. So as bad as it can get, and I think we're living in some pretty harsh times, probably the most harsh in my lifetime. Many of you guys have lived through things that are more harsh than I could ever dream about. And I praise the Lord that He's brought you through with His grace. And I still believe today that He'll bring us through with His grace. But we got to keep in mind that this place is not our home. That we're journeying through. And because it's not our home, we can rise above the current circumstances and live by faith in God and leave a legacy for those who come behind us. A legacy that goes well beyond the grave. Now, I don't think there was any doubt in Abraham's mind that God would fulfill his promises and that the land would someday become his descendants' land. And this is why I believe that. Pastor Hughes puts it so beautifully. He writes, "Abraham was so sure that his descendants would get the land that he wanted Sarah's bones to be there when they got there." How about that? He was so confident. One theologian said all Abraham was doing in purchasing the land was putting down earnest money. You know what earnest money is, don't you? It's just money to hold the land so that when it came his time, he would have a place to be buried. And I have you know that the descendants, the patriarchs, all were buried in the caves of Machpelah. And today, we think that this burial place is under a Muslim mosque. Now, we don't know for sure, but we think it is under a Muslim mosque in the Holy Land. Wouldn't you like to be there when Christ returns? See those patriarchs and matriarchs come up from that cave. What a day that will be. So after kneeling next to the body of his wife for 100 plus years, crying and mourning her death, Abraham then seeks to buy her a tomb. And this is so significant for us. And then we saw that in verses 3 through 4, he was asking for a tomb to buy. And then later on, the last part of chapter 23, we read in verse 16 that he purchased the land. Now, if you noticed, Abraham would not take the tomb as a gift. I pointed that out already. He paid for it so that he and his descendants would have an irrevocable right to the land. So what is he doing? Buying this tomb in the land of promise was a step of faith in the unfulfilled promises of God. Listen, if he didn't believe that this was going to happen, why would he leave his wife there? Why wouldn't he just take her home to Ur of the Chaldeans and bury her there? No, he believed in the promises of God, that he was willing to put down some earnest money on it. In other words, he put his money where his faith was. He was willing to put a little purchase price on this because he knew that someday God would fulfill the promises that he had made. You see, Abraham, his faith didn't falter after Sarah's death. His faith continued, and he continued to walk in it. This is what we see in this purchasing of this grave. Looking far beyond the present difficult circumstances, Abraham was able to live by faith in the days following Sarah's death. He too was leaving a gift to his spiritual descendants that would go far beyond the grave. Like Sarah, Abraham left a legacy of faith, a gift to laughter, a gift to Isaac, that would keep him going long after their death. You see, seeing far beyond the present helps us live by faith in God. Dr. Barnhouse relates an interesting incident that illustrates the point I'm trying to make today. He told of a girl whose husband had been killed in action during the war. And when the telegram came, this Christian girl read the telegram through and then said to her mother, "Mother, I'm going upstairs to my room. Please don't disturb me." Her mother called her father at work and told him what had happened, and he came home hurrying as he could. And immediately he went up to his daughter's room. He opened the door very quietly, and there was carpet on the floor, so she couldn't hear him enter the room. Before he said anything, he noticed his daughter kneeling on the floor by her bed with the telegram of her husband's death opened up before her. She was bowed over it and praying, and she said these words, "Oh, my Heavenly Father, oh, my Father, my Heavenly Father." Without a word, her dad turned and left her room, closed the door as quietly as when he opened it, went downstairs to his wife, and said these words, "She is in better hands than mine." You see, that is what faith does in the hour of grief. The very strength of Abraham's faith in the midst of anguish is that he is a stranger and a sojourner in a foreign land, and he realizes it. He's a pilgrim just passing through to that city which can alone satisfy his human heart. And he had set his eyes far beyond the present death of Sarah, his beloved wife. And it gives him the help that he needs to continue to walk in faith, building a legacy for his son and future descendants. And you see, that is a legacy of faith that he left all of his descendants, the purchase of this land. He would continue to walk by faith when everyone's eyes were on him to see what he would do, whether he would falter in his faith or he would continue to trust in the unfulfilled promises of God. What did he do? He said, "Right now matters, and I'm going to trust in God." And he left a legacy for all of his descendants, a gift beyond the grave. Point number three, listen to me. Point number three, death does not dim the hope of the fulfillment of God's promises. Verses 17 through 23, this is a great point. Let me just read it one more time to you. Death does not dim the hope of the fulfillment of God's promises. Verse 17 says, "So the field of Ephraim in Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, throughout its whole area was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites, before all who went in at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites." Now, let me just say this. This cave is in the smack dab middle of the promised land. The very middle. You see, Abraham didn't invest in the fringe part of the promised land. You see, that would be too easy to get to. That would take too little faith. Abraham says, "No, I'm going to buy a tract of land in the very middle, the very heart of the promised land, because I trust in God, and death does not dim the hope of the fulfillment of God's promises." You got to go through all the promised land to get to it. So I'm claiming by faith that I'm going to have it all one day. So isn't it interesting that in chapter 23 we begin with the death of Sarah. At the end of chapter 23 we finish with the burial of Sarah. If we see chapter 23 just as the death of Sarah, we've really missed the significance of this chapter, have we not? Nonetheless, death is real. It's painful to lose a faithful husband, a faithful wife. It's just painful. But perhaps the silver lining we're supposed to see in this chapter is that death does not dim the hope of the fulfillment of God's promises. The tomb just simply reminds us that death is no obstacle for God. Hallelujah. So that's to make y'all a little bit more happy than you are. I don't know what's wrong with you. God has power over death. Death is not an obstacle for God. Seem to remember a guy by the name of Jesus Christ. God raised him from the dead the third day according to the scriptures, and more than 500 people witnessed him alive. Death is no obstacle for God's fulfillment of his promises. There's nothing, not even, I'm sorry, I'm making your baby cry, I apologize. Nothing can thwart God's word. Now let me tell you something. You've got all of God's word that he wants you to have. You don't have all of God's word, but you've got all he wants you to have. You've got all the promises that he wants you to know. Take up the Bible and trust in the promises of God and not in who's in office. You hear me? You hear me, church family? God is over all things. And it's up to us to trust him and live by faith. The money that Abraham paid for the tomb shows us, like Abraham, we can live by faith in God, confident even in the midst of troubling circumstances. Did you hear me? Even in the midst of troubling circumstances, we can have hope as we face the future, because nothing can thwart the promises of God to the people of God. Abraham and all the patriarchs were buried in the cave of Hebron in the land of Canaan. They were all buried there as a witness to us today. Pastor Hughes writes, "The patriarchs, by insisting that their bones be buried in Canaan, they gave their last and ultimate witness to the promises of God." Calvin says this, "While they themselves were silent in death, the sepulcher cried aloud that death formed no obstacle to their entering in possession of the land." They all believed it, even though not all of them saw it. The purchase of that tomb for Sarah became a significant landmark to Abraham's faith in God, to faith in God's sure word of promise. Even though Sarah's death was painful, it didn't dim his hope in the fulfillment of the promises of God. And I'm so glad that it didn't. I'm so glad to be of Abraham's lineage. I'm so thankful to be a Christian. Our God is none other than Abraham's God. Our God is none other than Sarah's God. He's a God of wonder. He's a God of beauty and a God of power. A God that keeps His word no matter what's going on around us. No matter how our faith may falter, He is still a God who keeps His word. As Christians, listen to what the Bible says to us. For all the promises of God find their yes in Christ Jesus. The promise of God of family and land found their yes in Christ Jesus. All the promises that God's made in the New Testament finds their yes in Christ Jesus. That is, as sure as Christ Jesus lived, died, and rose again, as sure as that happened, all the promises will be fulfilled. It's all yes in Christ Jesus. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to the glory of God. Death has not dimmed the hope of the fulfillment of God's promises. A lesson that Abraham learned and one that we must learn. A lesson which is a gift that goes far beyond the grave. At the 100-year anniversary of the arrival of missionaries to the Congo, listen to this story. It's a great story. A large celebration was planned in commemoration of the lasting impact of the work of the original missionaries. Speakers were invited to address the gathering there. Special music, a festival meal, and other activities were planned as a memorial to this important occasion. Now listen, as the story goes, an aged native came forward and introduced himself to the crowd as the last person alive who was privy to a terrible secret. The old man confessed that 100 years earlier, when the missionaries first came, the natives didn't know whether to believe the message or not. So in order to test their sincerity, to test their faith, they devised a dastardly plan. Slowly, secretly, systematically, they began to poison the missionaries. Then they watched intently as mothers said goodbye to children, as husbands said goodbye to wives, as friends and colleagues said goodbye to one another. The old man explained that it was only as they saw how these missionaries died that the truth of their message was confirmed, and as a result many of the people believed and embraced the gospel message. Death does not dim the hope of the fulfillment of God's promises. God says, my word will not return to me void. Even in death, there can be a witness to the fulfillment of the promises of God. And that is a legacy of faith the living must seek to leave. The gift that goes far beyond the grave. Does right now matter, church family? You better believe it does, because it will impact future generations of libertines. It will impact our children. It will impact the very people that you don't even know who are watching how you live and who will watch how you die. And we need to make sure we leave a legacy, a gift that goes beyond the grave. So we've learned three things this morning, church family. Real quickly, these are the three things we've learned. We can live a life of faith in the midst of the unfulfilled promises of God. Secondly, seeing far beyond the present helps us live by faith in God today. And thirdly, death does not dim the hope of the fulfillment of God's promises. The faith we place in God today will impact future generations. Let me close with this little story. There was a family who had a priceless family heirloom, a glass vase. Some people call them vase. All right? A priceless heirloom vase that had been passed down from generation to generation to generation. One day, the parents of the family who had possession of the vase left their teenagers at home while they went out shopping for the day. And when they returned, they found their children at the door with downcast faces, and they said this, "Mother, Father, you know that priceless heirloom, that vase our family passed down one generation after the next generation?" "Yes." "Well, our generation just dropped it." The faith Sarah and Abraham placed in God while living has impacted future generations of believers more than they could ever tell. Their faith still does. I'm still preaching about it. And even in death, their faith still affected future generations. It's their gift to you and to me beyond the grave. Now listen to me. They didn't drop that priceless heirloom of a legacy of faith. Church family, I put before you today that we need to be like Sarah and Abraham, passing along this sacred gift that was given to us even though we don't deserve it. This gift of the gospel, this gift of a Christian heritage, we need to be that generation who continues to pass it on. Church family, let's not be the generation that says, "Oops, we dropped it." We too can give that gift, a legacy of faith that goes far beyond the grave. Listen, you're never too old. Never too old to be a person who's passing along this gift. And I'm telling you, you just don't know who's watching you. Could be a grandchild. Could be your spiritual grandchildren. Could be a niece or a nephew. It could be that boy that grew up in the church and is looking at you now. Church family, I don't know what we're headed into, but I know the God who's over it. And I know what He's asking of us. He's asking of us to live just like Sarah and Abraham. Not perfect lives, but faithful lives. Trusting in His word and promises. Will you commit to that? And if you do, you will leave a gift that goes far beyond the grave. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You are good and faithful and true to Your people. Help us to be good and faithful and true to You. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.